Our main speaker tonight is Pam.
Hi, my name's Pam. I'm an alcoholic. And it's a pleasure to be here tonight. I want to thank Bob and Peggy. Peggy for the recommendation, Bob for asking. And I also want to say welcome to all the newcomers. And I hope next year when I'm sitting here, you're celebrating your anniversary as well. Tonight I'm going to share my story with you so you see that there is a solution. By sitting in these rooms, you don't have to be in pain anymore. By following directions, your life can turn around. I want to say happy anniversary to the celebrants. I love anniversary evening. I mean, to accomplish a goal in sobriety is a wonderful feeling. And I also would like to... I start off crying, I finish crying. That's just what I do. I would like to take a moment to remember a friend who passed away this weekend from this disease. His name is Arnold, and he will be forever in our hearts, and he did the ultimate sacrifice. We're very blessed to be sitting here tonight, and I know I work very hard to earn my seat here, but we often forget about the people who go away and don't come back. So if you have a seat, hold on to it. Okay, now, on a lighter note, I want to thank my friend Ava for an excellent book report. If I were your teacher, I would give you an A+. But in today's world, I would grant you immunity from the next challenge. So, here we go. This is what I do, and it makes me calm, and I hope it'll help you too. But we have to just do this together 3 times. Just take a deep breath in and breathe in your higher power and breathe out fear. In, higher power, out fear. In, higher power, out fear. I'm ready. And I hope that helped you too. I did that last year on probably one of the greatest honors of my life when I was chosen to speak at the Bill W. dinner. And it sort of just put me in the right mood to say what I needed to say. Whenever I get up here, I don't really think very much about it during the day, because if I do put it in my higher power's hands, whatever is supposed to come out that evening comes out that evening. So I'm not a circuit speaker. I don't have a pet talk. The events are the events, but what comes out each time is different and is appropriate for that night. Because there could be someone sitting here that needs to hear something that I might have not thought about in a very, very long time. So I just hope that that happens tonight. I was adopted. And I was adopted by a middle-aged couple, but by today's standards, that would be a normal age to give birth. And and I had a great life, you know. My father was in the liquor industry, which was a bonus. So there was a full supply of alcohol all the time. I was a very shy child, and that was just inborn in me. You know, you talk about how you were, and I believe this is a disease, and we are born with this disease. 100% I believe that. Because the moment that alcohol passed my lips, I felt at ease, I felt at one, I felt at peace. And I knew that that was what I was going to need to get me through everything in life. You know, if I could have drank in the first grade, I would have, because I would have felt much more comfortable. You know, so I was a tomboy. I was very good at sports. I was very good at school. And I had a very loving home. Can't blame it on abuse. Can't blame it on anything, not having anything. I had everything. I was the chosen child. So, regardless of all this, I was still irritable and discontent in my environment. And the moment I drank, I found a way out. I was raised Jewish, despite my straight hair and straight nose. And I was told I was Jewish. And what I loved about being Jewish was the wine at holidays. And I drank as much as I could, whenever I could, with my cousin, who was also in the same position. And I got away with it. He didn't, because he had blonde hair and bright green eyes and very white skin, and the tops of his ears would turn bright red every time he drank. So a little more obvious to tell with Stevie. But, you know, the trouble for me did not start until I'd say about the sixth grade. You know, I always wanted to fit in, and I would do whatever I needed to do to fit in. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be accepted. And, you know, I'm sure that starts a lot earlier these days. But in sixth grade, I learned how to smoke. I knew how to drink, you know. And I learned that, you know, I didn't like to, but I learned how to kiss, you know. That was kind of like it all went together. Getting drunk, kissing a boy, you know, cutting school. That cycle started for me. And it just propelled. I mean, I got sober when I was 20 years old. And I'm very fortunate. My husband said, tell him how long you're sober. And when people always say, I've been around a while, I always wonder, how long is that while? But a while only counts if you're putting in the effort and you're living the program. You know, time can pass and you can be a dry drunk and be miserable, and that's not the goal here. The goal is to be happy, joyous, and free, and that's what I am today. See? So I started cutting school in sixth grade and starting looking for the boys that were cool and started dressing differently. And this went on until high school. And in high school, it just propelled. I went to the High School of Art and Design, and I started in the beginning on being accepted to get a scholarship for college, to being asked to leave the school in my last year if I didn't straighten out my act, because my idea of going to school was drinking, cutting school, going to Bloomingdale's, and smoking, you know, and making out in the staircase. So I wasn't really learning very much. You know, I'm fortunate to have 30 years of sobriety now and to look back and realize that that's what I had to do to get where I got. You know, my road and my path was a lot quicker than some, but it was just as devastating. I mean, when I checked into rehab, I was more than ready to be there. So I chose schools not by academic prowess, but by sun, partying, and I chose the University of Miami. Okay? I don't even think I saw the school, actually, the campus, for the first 2 weeks. I was scoping out the bars, I was scoping out who to hang out with, and, you know, and I got that all in order. And then I just went to school based on my drinking schedule. You know, I really never was in an area where you could go to school at night, you know, and I slept rather late and I had very bad hangovers. So I would just do everything in accordance with my drinking schedule. And it worked great for me when I went to school. I did other things in school that really weren't very, very widely accepted, but we're not talking about that tonight. But anyway, it was good that I did so much so often. It's not that I always wanted to. I mean, there comes that point in time where it changes, where you need to where you need to drink. You know, first I wanted to drink, then I needed to drink. I needed to drink to function. I needed to drink to get up, to go to brush my teeth, to walk to the mailbox, to go to school, to drive. You know, I needed to drink. And I was at that stage in college. I had moved out with a girl that I met, and we got our own apartment and on Hibiscus Island in Florida. And there was one critical night. You know, you always have these moments in your drunk logs or in your drinking career that stay with you. And she looked at me and she said, why do you always have to have more? And I thought, what is wrong with you? More is better, you know? And I really believe that with all my heart and my soul. You know, we went away for summer break and came back, and Ronnie decided that she did not want to be my roommate. And for very good reasons. And I lived alone. You know, I bought my alcohol. I hid my alcohol. I went to drive. I drank before I drove. I held one eye over the other eye so I could get the lines to go straight. And, you know, this was my existence. Finally, my lights were turned off. My phone was turned off. My parents were sending me the money for the bills. They knew something was terribly wrong. They had sent me for, you know, colonoscopies, psychiatrists, and finally they came down and I was interviewed for rehab. Needless to say, I passed the interview. And I was checked into South Miami Hospital for detox. Some people get out in 7 days. I got out in 28. And truth be told, when I was there, I wouldn't eat. You had to eat across the street. And unless I could get drunk, I could not cross the street. My anxiety level and my fear level was so high that I would choose not to eat then cross the street. So it was a terrible time there. I chose to go to a doctor to get what I call solid alcohol, to tell him that my husband and son were just killed in a car accident, so I could get something to take the edge off so I could participate in the activities. I mean, I really had no morals. I had no scruples. I had to do what I had to do to keep my disease in play, you know, and keep my addiction going. It was suggested to my parents that I go for further treatment, and I was sent to a rehab in Blairstown, Pennsylvania. Not everyone needs to do this. I needed to do this, and I was sent to Alina Lodge for the reluctant to recover. In those days, those jumpsuits with all the pockets were very in fashion, and I had something in every pocket to take the edge off. When I got there, they offered to unpack for me and to help me undress. I told them that wasn't necessary. They told me it was. And they had seen someone like me before. And, you know, I was to spend the next 8 months there learning how to live a sober life. I knew nothing about a sober life. I knew about lying. I knew about cheating. I knew about, you know, picking the toughest motorcycle guys to hang out with. You know, I knew about staying out all night, blackouts, but I did not know how to live a sober life. And here's where my life turned around. I did mention this at the Bill W. dinner, so I think I can hear. The only thing I was able to keep in my hot little hands was a Valium. And I stuck it in the batteries of my radio. And I had it there. I mean, I would have preferred alcohol if I could have put a miniature in there, but they were all taken. And for me, that was my pivotal moment in my sobriety. I was in a room with a very angry nun, and she used to call me Hanukkah Bush, and we were roommates. And we set off on the sobriety journey together. And, you know, they used to have candy raids because they felt sugar was very bad for you. And I mean, you could get kicked out for a number of things, and I didn't want to get kicked out because I was always the good little chosen girl. And but when they'd be looking for candy, I'd really be sweating because I knew I had something that they would say, okay, you can leave now. And there was one night where I just decided I couldn't do it anymore. I went to that radio. I got down on my knees. I was crying at this. I threw the Valium down the toilet, and I said the first step. And I said, okay, God, I'm ready. From that moment on, my life changed. You know, I was a willing participant. I was given a set of spiritual tools that if I wanted to use would heal my life. I was taught how to get sober. I went to lecture after lecture, which would be meeting after meeting, if you're new coming here, and I just listened. This was a foreign language. This was not something I aspired to. I went home, and I lived in Riverdale in the Bronx, and I was 20 years old, and most of the meetings were 30, 60-year-old Irishmen and me. And it just didn't matter. It didn't matter. I didn't go there. I don't believe AA is a dating service. I don't believe it's an employment agency. I believe it's a place where we get sober and we learn how to stay sober. Because for me, I always want to remain a beginner. 30 years later, I stick to the basics. I'll tell you about my everyday and how I wake up, and it's no different than my first day when I got home for being sober. They taught me about a higher power. A higher power for me is the most wonderful tool to have in my spiritual toolkit. I learned that no matter where I was, no matter what I was doing, I always had someone to talk to. You know, I walk down the streets today, I'm having conversations in my head, I'm discussing things with my higher power, I'm turning things over. You know, that's what I was taught to do. I got a terrific group. I got a wonderful sponsor. And for me, I picked the toughest woman in the room. I always say, if you want the best, you go for the best car, you go for the best haircut, you go for the best hair colorist, you know, you go for the best LCD TV. You know, for me, I wanted the best sponsor, and I picked the toughest woman in the room who I knew would not take any of my nonsense. And she didn't. And we were together for 25 years. And today I have someone new who's teaching me different things that I didn't learn before. But for me, that was my spiritual guide. She taught me about the steps. She taught me about service. She taught me the importance of calling on the phone every day. You know, it wasn't always for me to call her. You know, it's a two-way street. It's amazing when you're just willing. You know, I was so shy and so afraid, and I don't want to make the phone calls. And, you know, it was fear of my ego, myself. But that's not what I believe in today. I think whenever I'm thinking about myself, I'm not thinking about the higher good of the program. When I'm standing up here tonight, you know, it's not, are you going to like me? Am I going to be this best speaker you have ever heard? You know, I just have to deliver the message of hope that no matter what happens, you can stay sober. I have been given every challenge, to see if I would stay sober. And I can say today that with your help, I have. Things were pretty quiet until my 20th year of sobriety. You know, I learned how to live the program. Every morning I was taught to get up, and I still do this today. I say the first three steps before I get out of bed, and I remember who I am and what I am. I don't want to deceive myself. I like to stay in a calm, spiritual place when I wake up in the morning. And my husband and I always has a laughing commentary about this, that I get up, I go into my spiritual room, I meditate, I read a stack of spiritual books. And he says he gets up, and within the first 5 minutes, he solved all of the crises of the world, and he has CNN blasting. So you have like the guru Amma thing going in one room, and you have the blasting TV in the other room. But somehow it works for us. And for those of you looking for a husband, I got married on the eve of my 21st anniversary. So patience is a virtue. I walked many a sponsee down the aisle. But you know, when the time is right, the time is right. And I did not want to get into a relationship or be with someone until I was fully healed. You know, so when people talk about not getting into a relationship in the first year and they go, oh, I'm not going to ask her to be my sponsor. It's just to give yourself time. Give yourself time to heal. So I married a wonderful man in the program, and then the challenges began. There's good and there's bad. You know, like I said, there's wonderful anniversaries tonight, and then there's remembering a wonderful member who has passed. You know, I got the opportunity to have my own business in AA. I was not brought up to have that. I was brought up to get married and have children and have a home. This was a very exciting experience for me. On the flip side, I had a partner who stole from me. And I had to deal with that as a sober woman. You know, what you see before you today is the working of AA every day, 24 hours a day, to produce a sober woman, you know, that God would be proud of my actions, that I am proud of my actions. I have a wonderful relationship with my family today. You know, my mother passed away 2 years ago, the night of the Bill Wilson dance. And to me, it was meant to be. Because she knew that night I was surrounded by more love than I know on any given day of the year. I was with 3,000 alcoholics having a great time, and this is what she saw her daughter become, a healthy, sober alcoholic. And that night when I went home, I got the call, and I knew she picked that night when I was safest. You know, the next year when I was chosen to speak at the dance, that was such an honor for me. You know, tonight I'm in my 11th night of chemo. And the night I tried out for the Bill Wilson dance, I was in my 14th night of chemo. And my husband always says, you're my favorite speaker. And the night I tried out, I said, you know, I can't be responsible for what comes out tonight. And when I sat down, the other man after me, you know, quoted the big book and the steps. And I was like, oh, I'm forget it. And I said to him, okay. And he said to me, you were good. And I knew for me that the whole idea behind that night, I was away on vacation. I had to drive 2 hours to go to speak for the dinner. And the quest that night was, were you still willing to go to any lengths? So it wasn't getting the prize. It was just one of the steps along the way. And I was happy enough with that. I walked away with that. Nobody was more boggled when I got the call. But that, again, was a wonderful thing. You know, I didn't want to talk about cancer, but that's part of my journey, twice. And my husband said, you have to talk about that. You know, I want you to see still, you know, healthy, happy. Well, the good news is I am healthy and happy. But I do talk about betrayal. I talk about cancer. I talk about things because I want you to know that there's never, never an excuse or a reason to say, I'm going to pick up a drink over this. You bring that problem to the meeting. You raise your hand. You say, this is what's going on. And there is always someone there that is going to say, I've been down that road and this is how I walk through it. You know, prayer and meditation is my favorite. I love God. I love to meditate. You know, I've learned how to get peace, how to get tranquility in my life in the midst of the most turbulent storms. I've learned how to be one of the prettiest girls in the room. I've learned how to come to this room bloated and bald and sick and still be sober and still be loved. You know, we don't judge here. There are no judgments here. There is just love, acceptance, and willingness to teach the next human being how to walk down this path. You know, I am happy, joyous, and free today. I had to write down my own life in case I forgot it in day 12 of of chemo. But, you know, for me, I just always want to remain a beginner. I always want to wake up in the morning and do my spiritual reading, which always puts a positive thought in my head at the beginning of the day. I always want to speak to people in the program and go to a meeting during the day. And at night, I always want to thank my higher power for such a blessing. This is truly the biggest blessing I have ever received in my life, besides the blessing of being well. You know, I took that for granted, and I will never take that for granted again. You know I was saved for a reason. You know, I was given pretty dire news with stage 4 cancer. And it was sort of, I knew that day from all my spiritual work that I was not going to go. I just knew in my heart and I knew in my soul that I was saved. And I was saved to carry the message of AA to the still sick and suffering alcoholic. I believe that that's why I'm here. You know, I had a different plan, but when I open my eyes or when I'm still and I ask God, like I ask God today, you know, what would you like me to do today? Every day I ask God that because, you know, I have my plans and then God has his plans. You know, I didn't plan to start off marriage, you know, having cancer twice or having my husband have cancer. But what I did learn was that here, the core, the center of my heart, Alcoholics Anonymous, got me through every dark day and embraced me on every joyous day. So I just want to say thank you very much for inviting me here tonight. Have I used up all my time? I have 2 minutes. Okay, I could go on. You know, I want to say something about sponsorship. I think that finding a sponsor to work with is really a wonderful thing in the program. I think that if you can find someone to confide your heart in who is trustworthy of that, you can learn to live a life better than your wildest dreams. You know, I think if you use the big book with her, if you go through the steps with him or her, and if you go through the traditions, you know, you lay a very strong foundation, then like a very solidly built house, you will have wonderful, wonderful days ahead of you. 1 minute. I thank God. I thank my higher power. I thank my sponsor. I thank my friends. I thank the friends that I don't know yet, but know me. I thank you for allowing you to hear my heart. Because I truly believe that what comes from the heart reaches the heart, and I hope I've reached yours tonight. Thank you.